Blog Talk Radio.
I've been trusting and confessing the wrong things I've been messing with my head, but you're caressing, release pain, distressing, and instead of concentrating on situations, I'm facing steady pacing and I'm making no moves.
I'm hesitating and I'm nervous,
but that one word just
feels like it's gonna be alright.
I can make it through the night.
Don't wanna hear mama say, or daddy say, or sister say, or brother say,
I just wanna hear you.
Good evening, I see Deacon Lowe. I see Sister Shirley.
Evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. I'm Sister Tawana.
Good evening.
I see Betty. Good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah.
We're going to go ahead and get started. If anyone else is joining me, we'll definitely let you all know who's attending. I'm just going to do a quick roll call. We have Mother May, we have Deborah Slappy, we have Deacon Lowe. We have Sister Shirley, Sister Tawana, Auntie Betty, Auntie Dot, and Sister, and myself, Sister Angela. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our family and friends prayer session. Amen.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. All right, we're going to have Mother May open us up in prayer before we just start hearing.
Let us pray. God of peace, help us to be better peacemakers in the world. Give us a sense of openness toward the people we meet. We pray as Jesus taught us, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sin, for we also forgive everyone that indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. Dear Lord, help us to rejoice and to trust you in all circumstances. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for the opening prayer, Mother May. And we did have another caller join, Auntie Carrie. Good evening.
Good evening.
Okay, I got it on mute. Let me unmute it. Okay, Auntie Carrie, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Amen. Amen. Well, before we start, guys, I do want to just take a moment of silence to acknowledge
our sister Loretta, the founder of this call, giving her honor for wanting to do this call. But in honor of her death, let's just take a few moments of silence, please.
Can't do that, Dad.
I know.
What you want?
I want this. Sit on that. Thank
you. You bench?
All right, amen, amen. Okay, well, let's go ahead and get into our session for today. We follow my guidelines. If we don't have the music, things will work out, so we're just going to deal with that later. But we will look at it in the program. We're going to start out with where we left off in our study guide, which is on page 17. And the way that I'm going to do this is, and I hope you guys don't mind, it's just that I call on a person to either read something or do something. If you're not comfortable with doing it, just say pass me and I'll go to another person, okay?
Okay.
All right. So, Auntie Betty.
Yes.
Can I get you to start us off in reading on the bottom of page 17 and go to
Sam Lowe or day two?
Yes. Yeah, it says day two. Are we there yet? Read that and go to the next page and end it at the first paragraph.
Okay. Imagine that you are flying to a foreign country and you have never visited it before. You have a lot of excitement while you are planning to apply for passport and packing baggage. Every parking in the long-term parking lot brings a sense of adventure as you headed towards the terminal and your destination. Hours later, all of that excitement shifts to uncertainty when you hear the captain announce in multiple languages that the aircraft is making its final descent. When you look out of the window while still thousands of feet in the air, everything across your visual landscape seems strange and new. Maybe the home and the highways look different. It's then that you lean over to your travel companion to start making guesses about what things will be like in this unfamiliar place.
Amen. Thank you for that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So what I'm going to do on this first question, just kind of curious what were some different answers that some of you may have received on this. It says right below a few things you would wonder or worry about the first time you visited a foreign country. I'm going to start off with Mother May. What's your answer?
Okay, I'd be wondering if the people offended, not knowing their language and all of that. So I'd be wondering all about that.
All righty. How about you? I'm glad you participated. Okay. Deacon Lowe. Are you on mute?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Do you have the book with you, dude?
Yes, I do.
Okay, what would be some of your wonders or worries about the first time you visited a foreign country?
Well, yeah, it would be mostly like what Mom said, their language.
Okay. All righty.
And also the belief of the people.
Okay, the belief. Good. Thank you. How about you, Sister Shirley?
I'd be wondering about, had a couple of things down here. Would I be able to return to my country as planned? Can I eat their food? And what will the people be like? Will the people like me? And what will the people be like?
Okay, so like friendly, yeah. Okay. Awesome. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for sharing. I'll say people know another day. Next, I have Sister Tawana.
I put down the people, how friendly the people are. I also put down food, how would I like their food, or would their food be taste? Would I be able to eat their food? And I put down safety, how safe is the country.
Amen. That's a good one. Awesome. All right, thank you for sharing. Auntie Betty?
I'm good with the same thing. It's the language, you know, I'm trying to understand what they are saying, and could they understand me, you know? So I'm trying to make friends, and sometimes you don't know what they're saying, they don't know what you're saying, so that's kind of frightening.
Amen. Thanks for sharing. Moving around to Auntie Di.
Oh. Well, basically the same thing they said, except we'd be wanting to look at the different places we can go to visit, see what's going on in their city. Is it much different than ours? You know, the big building and stuff like that. Activity and stuff like that.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you. All right. Next I have, I want to acknowledge that we had another caller join. Sister Vera, good evening. Welcome.
Good evening.
All righty. I'm going to go back to Auntie Terry, and see if you would like to share any feedback on Warrior Wanda going into a foreign country.
Yes, I was worried about the currency, how the money goes, and most likely how the food tastes. And I'm like, Tawana, is it safe to be in that country?
Amen. Awesome. Again, our last person that I have on the call, Sister Vera, we're going over the first question on page 18. What would be some things that you will worry about or wonder about if you visited a foreign country?
I don't have my book, but everything about a different country, just everything. It's just, my anxiety will be very high, everything.
You know, it's very interesting. I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is Sister Shirley. I forgot to say the water. The drink.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for sharing, Sister Vera, and then for adding on to Sister Shirley. All I did really just kind of write down, I started out with my only two things I came up with, and then I just kind of show tally who had some of the same things. And, you know, it's just beautiful that these are a lot of things that we all think about, worry about, or wonder about. So I'm just going to recap the different things that we all came up with as a whole. The last one was the water and safety, which is very important. I didn't even consider that. I just thought, I'm one of them kind of people, God looks out for food, because I don't even think about my safety. I just be looking around wondering. I like the one where this house, you know, when you want a tour, how you going to get to the tourist places, and, you know, just the wonderment of of seeing the country. I like that one. Obviously, the three populist one that we have that everyone said was understanding their language, being people friendly, and eating their food. Those were the three top items that were selected out of all of us. And I think I had transportation to and from. I think that kind of goes around with how you're going to get about touring and that safety and stuff. And then someone mentioned beliefs. What are their beliefs in that country? And, you know, how would that impact the things that you want to do? That was a very good one, Deacon Law. I believe you mentioned that one. And then I think Carrie indicated how we're going to come back home safely, you know. And these are some beautiful thoughts and things to worry and consider. And what I'm getting out of this is, okay, we didn't plan a trip to go out of, to a foreign country. How much homework did we do before we went?
That's right.
You know, and if we don't do our homework to understand, then we create our own worries and our wonders as well. And, you know, as I'm sitting here, the Holy Spirit is just downloading in me and saying, this is what the Word of God is like. If we don't prepare ourselves before we get into the next step or stage or season in our life, it creates that worry. It creates that wonderment. Just amazing, but beautiful. It's good to be together as a group, because these are some things that as a group we all came up with, where one or two of us had two or three things at the most. And we really need to consider a lot of these things that we all mentioned. Before I move on, I just want to see if anyone else has any other comments. And I'm just going to go down the line. You can say yay or nay. I mean, you can say pass or say something. I'll start off with Mother May. What do you think about that exercise?
Oh, I thought that was wonderful, and it was good for the rest of them to come up with something besides what I said, because I wasn't thinking about what one or two things, you know. So I enjoyed listening to all the ones that come up with different thoughts, because it is, it's something else when you're in a foreign country and you don't know nothing about the people or the country. No, you know, so it's good to share that. I enjoy that. So.
Thank you. Deacon Lowe, any feedback?
Okay. And then also, you know, their latrine or bathroom is not like ours, you know. You have to find them things out, and by us not knowing their languages and stuff, that makes a big difference, you know, as you're traveling. But the best thing to do is do your research before you go traveling to a foreign country, because ain't no country like America. I can believe that. Ari?
Amen. Thank you for sharing. Sister Shirley, any feedback?
I enjoyed the roundtable discussion. I went to a foreign country, had my passport and everything. It was approved. I got there, but when I got ready to come back, they said something was missing. So that's why I was concerned about, will I be able to return? Make sure we got all of our information correct before we leave to get over there and can't get back.
Amen.
True.
Amen. Thanks for sharing. Sister Tawana.
I don't have any feedback.
No problem. Auntie Betty.
Mm-hmm. I'm satisfied with what Ben said, lady.
Okay. Auntie Dot.
Okay.
I got myself here. I'm just going to share. I did have an opportunity in my senior year in high school to go to Scotland and London, and it was
it was an experience. A couple of things that really took me to death was eating their food. We were living with the families that were in the band, and there was one experience. I remember the lady was cutting the apple pie, and she was just being so careful, and I'm just like, I just knew this was going to be so good, and let it go. And the pie was darn near frozen. It was apple pie. And I was thinking it was hot the way she was handling it, you know. I remember that experience. And another experience was we was on our way back on the plane, and the band director asked, how many people ate those good old sausages every morning? Everybody was raising their hand. Thank God at that time, I thought it was pork, but I didn't eat pork that much, so I didn't eat the sausage. Come and find out, he said, I just want y'all to know that that was fried blood. And they all, like, they want to just throw up, you know?
Yeah.
It looked just like a sausage patty fried, but it was fried blood. Mm-hmm. They thought it was good, but sometimes you don't know what you're eating. But I know one thing, I lost 3 pounds while I was there because I wouldn't even know all that mess they had. But that's one thing I do remember about that trip. All right. I see, Carrie, anything you would like to share?
I pass.
Okay, and Sister Barrett, I'm sorry.
Just make sure don't offend their cultures, because what we do here in America is different from what's over there.
Amen.
That's a really good one. Yes, don't offend their culture.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're in their country. We can't act like we're in our country. And do that's a really good one.
Mm-hmm.
Really good one.
Amen.
Very good discussion. And as I said earlier, probably a little sooner than later, is the fact that we really do need to study before we to see ourselves approved in the Bible as well in what we do in learning. So as we continue on, let's kind of go through the next exercise. It says we're going to read Joshua 1:1-2, but it's actually over in the margin. And what does God tell Joshua about Moses? Before we answer that question, I think we did. Deacon Lowe, can I get you to read Joshua 1:1-2? It's in the margins in the workbook.
What about
you?
I'm
to your side, isn't it?
I'll put the side.
To your side or your
book?
Oh, to the side.
I don't got what you mean on the side. I don't see that.
Yeah,
oh,
after the death of Moses.
Page 18.
Yeah,
after the death of, I got it.
All right.
Okay.
After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua's son Anon, Moses' assistant. Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. That's Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 and 2.
Thank you for reading that, Hubert. And the question says, what does God tell Joshua about Moses?
Oh,
yeah.
Yep. He was his servant.
And the next question is,
his
what
servant.
Does God
do? He was his servant.
He will protect Joshua the same way he protected Moses.
Oh.
Amen. Any more comments?
You asked the question, what does God instruct Joshua to do?
What does God tell Joshua about Moses?
About Moses.
Oh, just my servant is dead. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Oh, but his servant was dead, and therefore
right.
He chose Joshua to finish the carry the people to the land that he had promised them.
Right.
To cross the Jordan River.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Jordan.
But everybody was talking.
Jordan River.
Yeah.
Land.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Into
the
land
I'm giving them.
Yeah, I think you guys are answering the second question, what did God instruct Joshua to do? And so one of the things that, and thank you guys for, you know, he's going to lead the people into the promised land. And, you know, I sit here and I think, and we're talking about words, and we put ourselves in Joshua's place. What do you think is some of Joshua's worries at this moment where God has elected him to take this position?
I don't think that Joshua was worried about if the people going to listen to him. And he was worried about a lot of things, but God just kept telling him to be strong and courage.
Yeah.
And so just like us, Joshua, just like us, we worry about things we don't know. And a lot of times we worry about things that never come, but we have put it before us and start worrying about, you know, different things that we shouldn't be worried about.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just mm-hmm. our nature.
Right.
And it comes up.
Anyone else? Well, the first thing that came to my mind is, would Joshua think he's ready to take on such a huge responsibility? But, I mean, that would be a worry.
Oh, they ain't trained, Joshua. Yeah, like I said, we always had to get in hot water. When we are in a comfortable place, we don't want to jump out in the water if we don't know where that water hot or cold, you know?
Exactly.
Amen.
Amen. So those are, you know, we can kind of consider some of those things may have been running through Joshua's mind when God told him that my servant is dead and I want you to step in and lead the people onto the promised land. So just kind of keep it in the back of our mind as we continue to go through the rest of the part. I'm to Betty Reed. Sister Shirley, would you read the first paragraph after where we are now?
Okay. As the book of Joshua opens, millions of Israelite men, women, and children stand cluttered together east of the Jordan River. Before his death, their leader Moses had gathered all the people to tell them what to expect, what to do, and how to live. Even with all of that new knowledge, I'm sure there were a few people with some lingering worries or concerns. Now Moses had died, and their new leader, Joshua, stands before the people. The Israelites had wondered.
Oh, you can stop. I'm sorry, you can stop there. There was a couple of questions. I didn't want to address in that section. I didn't realize it was in my leader's book. I did ask the question what we thought might have been some of Joshua's words, but the second question is, what do you think might have been some of the Israelites' words? And anybody care to share some things you think the Israelites were worried about?
Well, as we study the book of Joshua, we know that the Israelites were worried about everything. They were worried about even going into that city, and going into the promised land. They were worried about that. They were afraid. They had fearful thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And
anybody
they gave
else?
Moses a hard time, so I'm almost sure they were ready to give Joshua a hard time.
they were snake people.
Right. And you let me write into the next question that talks about What would you say was their only course of action in the face of change and uncertainty? And I think this is what brings about a lot of our worries is change and not knowing what that change may bring.
Amen.
Yeah, we just don't like change. We would like to do it the same way all the time. But the same way don't work. We have to change.
Amen.
So, because the change bring about newness and carry you further than just staying back doing it the same way. You learn more when you do changes.
That's true.
Yeah, it brings up, brings about growth. Yeah. Good. That's really good, Auntie Gary. Really good.
Let her go.
Okay. I got some more callers doing. Hold on one moment. Good evening, Auntie Marie.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening. I'm sorry, I don't know how long you've been down there. But I'm just going to join you right on in with us.
That's okay.
All righty. I do have another caller online. The last four digits of their number is 0454. Would you please announce yourself?
Doris Reed.
All right.
Oh,
welcome
to
Doris.
Yes. Amen.
Good evening. All righty. Okay. So, I can't get my mother to stop from trying to leave the call for me. Okay. thank you so much for reading that first paragraph. I am going to try to spread the wealth as we go through the lessons. So I would like to see if Sister Tawana, would you like to pick up from the next section?
Okay. The Israelites had wandered in the desert for 40 years, and a new home awaited them just on the other side of the Jordan River. Any journey that takes 40 years is sure to be a fascinating story. In fact, the book of Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy convey the living events of the Israelites extended sojourn in the wilderness. We are going to dip into a few verses with these books in order to gather some important detail that we should know as the Israelites finally arrive at the entrance of their new homeland.
Amen. Since I do have Google up right in front of me, I'm going to pull up Deuteronomy 1:5, unless someone has their Bible and they want to read it.
You can't
mouth out on words. I should have had this up. I think I did. I don't know why I closed it down. Okay. Okay, I will read the Deuteronomy 1. Starting with verse 1, these be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side of Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazaroth and Bezahab. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel, according unto all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them. After he had slain Sihon, the king of Amorite, which dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, which dwelt at Ashtaroth in Edrei, on this side of Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law, saying, The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough in this month. I'm going to stop there. And what the workbook says is that to read those verses, and how many days should it have taken for the Israelites to make their journey to the promised land?
11 days.
11 days. Isn't that 11 amazing?
Days.
It took them how long?
40 years.
40 years.
40 years.
Amen. Amen. Okay, well, let's just continue on and see what else it has to share with us. I don't know. Maybe we want to talk about it. Why do you think it took us 40 years when it could have just been 11 days?
Disobedience. Yeah, they didn't obey. They didn't trust.
Yeah.
And they had got Egypt out of their mind. They were still back in Egypt in their mind. They still were in bondage. In bondage, yeah. Anything else, anyone? And, you know, I'm going to reflect again once back to why we experience the things that we experience, and why we go into a sense of turmoil with worry is because, are we being obedient to God's word? He tells us to be strong and courageous. He tells us he's with us. We shouldn't have to worry. He tells us he's going to feed us. He tells us he's going to protect us. So if we just continue to trust in him, which that was one of the reasons that they didn't trust him, they didn't, you know, they complained all the time, and then they just didn't get the Egypt out of their mind, that they were still in bondage, enslaved. They rather had continued to be enslaved because that was easier than to learn how to deal with change. And this is, you know, this is so parallel to us accepting Christ in our lives and accepting the change that we have to make in our lives as we accept Christ and learn to walk with Christ.
Amen,
yeah,
amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I think that's the overall learning from that section there. Okay. I see God, would you be willing to read the next paragraph for me, please?
Okay. After the Israelites fled from Egypt and what is that?
Pharaoh.
And through the Red Sea, they journeyed around and through the wilderness. Early in their journey, Moses received the Ten Commandments from God on Mount Sinai, beginning them down to the people before they reached the edge of Canaan, the promised land, for the first time. Yes, the Israelites actually made it to the promised land. Decades before they finally was able to enter it. Unfortunately, they allowed uncontrolled fear and worry to control their actions and eliminate robbed them of receiving God's blessing at that time. So they were robbed of receiving God's promised blessing at that time.
Amen, amen.
So they were scared, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So they were afraid.
Just what I was about to ask. Whenever I ask someone to read a section, before I leave you, I want you to share what you got out of what you read.
Okay.
Can you say that again, R.T. Dot?
I said they really was afraid, and they God promised them at that time, you know, receiving God's promise for the promised land,
mm-hmm.
and they were worried about in unconditional. But the Ten Commandments from God on Mount Sinai bring them down to the people before they reach the edge of Canaan.
Right.
The promised land. For the first time.
Amen.
And they did make it to the promised land.
Not that generation.
Yeah.
It wasn't that generation that made it.
Yeah.
It didn't make it. The younger generation.
Right. Mm-hmm. All those folks had to die off because they just would not.
Okay.
Amen. Any other feedback? Amen. All righty. There's no more feedback on that section. I don't think I have any workbook data from my guidebook. So let's go ahead with the next section. Auntie Marie, would you like to read that next section for us?
You don't have to
if you don't want to.
I don't have a book.
You don't have to go anything, no problem. No problem. Let's go with Sister Barra.
She don't have a book.
What am I supposed to be doing?
Do you have your book?
But what I'm supposed to be reading.
Reading the next
page 19. Let me go get Mama. I'm gonna get Mama book. Hold on.
That's okay.
Yeah,
that's
book.
All right. I forgot that in the same place.
Thank you. Okay, I'm sorry.
We read in Numbers 13 and 14 that when they reach to say
Canaan.
This first time, Moses sent 12 men out with a list of questions to answer as they checked out the land. The men returned after 40 days to give their report. Ten spies told scary stories about giants in the land, but Joshua and a man named Caleb told a different story. Joshua countered the fear-inducing report of the other ten spies with a favorable report. In the following verses, we see a powerful picture of who Joshua was and what he believed.
Amen. You know, any comments you would like to share, Sister Barry?
Oh, they were scared because of the story they had heard. That's what took so long. I'm asking questions. I don't know. Is that what took the 40 years? Is that what took that time for them to do that because of the fear of all the stories that was coming out from land? Am I wrong? Or am I right? Because I don't know.
There's no right or wrong answer, guys. This is all a learning, so no worries about trying to say the right thing, because we weren't there to know the right thing for sure. But I think what they were trying to point out is, from my perspective, you had all these men go down there and take a look at the land to survey it and say, Is it a good place for us to be? What kinds of things we might be looking forward to? And you know what I got from that is, again, getting back to why we're here, we're talking about worry, is if you're perspective on how you see things. And so 12 of the spies, you know, they had a very negative view on what they saw. And so that's what they shared, that they didn't think that they would be successful in that land. But yet you had Caleb and Joshua that actually saw something totally different, you know.
So it's just, again, we create our worry by the things we put in our minds.
That's true.
You know, so we really just want to kind of think through some things and reflect back on God's word each time we feel this anxiety coming up, because that's the true medicine, that's the true help for us, so that we don't go astray. And we all are guilty. There's nobody on this phone that has not worried. There's nobody on this phone that has not experienced anxiety. And what we have to realize that when we do this in our mind, it also affects us physically. When we get sick because we worry about these things, that something we don't have control over, a lot of things, you know, we just need to go to God and the Holy Spirit for guidance. So it's just letting us know the tools are right here in that Bible. We just got to get into it daily so that we can know when to use which verse, which story, which parable that applies to our situation. And we have to learn how to dispel some of these negative thoughts. And you know, like she was saying, instead of saying what if, say God is, so you put a positive spin on it, even though it looks bad, even though it sounds bad. If the doctor was to come and tell me that I have cancer, okay, what do you want me to do? But I'm not going to be relying on what they're telling me. I'm going to be relying on what the word tells me. And I'm going to move on, even though I may have it. I'm not going to let it tear my world apart because, again, can I control it? Can I stop it? Me personally? No, but can God? Yeah. So we go back to God and ask God to be our healer. I hear some background noise. If you are not speaking, if you can please mute your phone. All righty. Again, let's go ahead to the questions. It said it asked us to read number 14:6-9. Do anybody have that one up? If not, I do have it up. It says, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And for those that may not be aware, when they say rent their clothes, that's usually when they mourn or they're upset, they tear their clothes and to show a sign of remorse. And they spake unto all the company of all the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. So that positive report of the land. So what they're asking us is, they're asking us, what did Joshua and Caleb beg the people not to do in verse 9? I guess I can read verse 9. Hold on. Okay. If the Lord, exceeding good land. In verse 8, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. And verse 9 says, only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. So what did Joshua and Caleb beg the people not to do in verse 9?
Not to do against God.
In this verse,
and not to be afraid of the people.
Okay, I do have some background notes. I'm going to try to mute whoever I can tell. Okay. I didn't hear the answer. What did Joshua and Caleb beg the people not to do in verse 9?
frightening and dismayed.
Yeah, do not be afraid. And why shouldn't we be afraid? Because the Lord is with us. Because the Lord is with us.
Oh, gonna be with us.
I'm sorry, I was talking with my phone on mute.
That's okay. I didn't ask us to go ahead and read verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, but all the congregation, they stoned them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. So then, how did the people respond to the plea of these two men? Let me kind of back up on the story. We kind of may have gotten a little lost in our conversation comments around it. But when we first started out in Numbers 13 and 14, it talks about how Moses sent the 12 men down to survey the land. And of the 12 men, 10 of them came back and said that, you know, it was scary and we shouldn't go there and blah, blah, blah. Then you had these two, Joseph and Caleb, that said, no, the land is exceedingly good, with flowing with milk and honey. So what verse 10 is actually saying, that what did the people do when those two people said that? How did the people respond to the plea of these two men?
Oh, they were stoned, and one was stoned in your death.
Right. And you know,
they wanted to
so
kill them.
Yeah.
They wanted to believe the 10 and not the 2.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's so funny. We were talking about this in Sunday school this morning. People are willing to believe a lie before they believe the truth.
Amen.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they go along with the crowd. They think because the crowd believes them, they think it's right. So that
right,
was
true.
Against the 2. Yeah. So everybody thought the 10 was more righter than the 2.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
oh,
what
true.
We have a problem with today. People like to be in the crowd. They think the crowd is right. So they take the truth and make it lie, and take the lie and make it the truth.
Right.
And that's what
correct.
We're all facing
mm-hmm.
today.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we just have to be careful with the people we surround ourselves with. That creates our worry as well. You know, especially if you got a lot of people that just don't see the good side of anything. They always see the bad side of everything.
Amen.
Yeah.
Any other comments?
Yeah, negative people can influence the larger number of people who don't know, but a few negative people can ruin the whole thing. It's like a bad
true. Mm-hmm. It's so true.
Yeah. And when you think about it, God led them here. Why would he lead them to something that's not good for them?
Well, they believed that God will provide for them. They kept complaining about the manna. They kept complaining about water. They were just complainers. Mm-hmm. They didn't really believe that God was there to protect them and take them to the new to the land that flowed with milk and honey.
That's right.
Right.
It's slave mentality.
You know, a good person can be persuaded to do something bad if the bad person talks to them long enough. You can't
that's
persuade
right.
the bad person to come on your side, but he can persuade the good person to come on his side.
Yeah.
You sit there and listen to them.
That's right.
Amen.
So
that's
why you have to surround yourself with and how you treat people. You got to treat people right, but you just something they say you don't have to even answer, don't even believe it. You know it's not so. And you have to just kind of walk away from that.
Yes, yes.
Right. Yeah.
We always need to study his word so we'll know what's right.
True.
Amen.
Back then they didn't have God's word, but we got it. So we need to study God's word and
I tell
to stay away from negative people.
Mm-hmm. And you know what?
Yeah.
We need to start speaking out when we know what the Bible is telling us. We know what God has instilled in us. And when they start talking that negative stuff, we have to, first of all, we definitely want to discern it because we want to discern the audience that we're around. But there are times that you can kind of deflect that information so that people that you know are novice don't absorb it and get influenced by it. So sometimes we do need to speak up and be brave about what God has told us his word is.
Yes. Right. But if they don't listen, you don't stand there and honor, will you just leave them?
Exactly. Yes.
Exactly.
Shake the dust off
yes.
is what God told us to do. Shake the dust yes. off and keep it moving.
Amen. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is plant that seed and hope that some of those other people around understand that they might need to go do some homework themselves rather than just going on what somebody else says.
That's right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, guys, I am going to respect your time. It's about 4 minutes till 7. So I'm actually going to mark in our book that we're going to pick up this on 3:10, which is next Sunday. And if anything changes, I will definitely text everyone, and I'll make sure that Mother Auntie Terry will let Auntie Betty and Auntie Terry and Miss Doris know if anything changes. So I am going to just summarize the call with the things that we normally do. We definitely want to pray for our sick and shut-in. We definitely want to acknowledge our birthdays for this week, and then we're going to go ahead and close out today.
Amen.
Do I have any volunteer that would like to do the sick and shut-in prayer? I'll be glad to read the names for you. Okay, well, I'm going to move on. Before we start again, I would like to, if there's a few callers that came in later, I would like to take another moment to acknowledge our founder, Loretta Simmons, of this call, who established it 15 years ago. If we guys could just give a moment of silence for the loss of Loretta. Amen. Before I go into prayer, I do want to share a little something about our sick and shut in. As painful as it is to see someone we love struggling, illness is an unfortunate and inevitable part of the human experience. That doesn't make it any less tough, whether it's a minor injury or a severe health condition. The physical and emotional toll that it can take is overwhelming. So let's just pray for those that are sick. Let me give you the list of the names that we have. We have Perry Marshall, Douglas D. Flappy Jr., and it's just not sick, it's those family members that we've lost as well. Douglas D. Flappy Sr. and family, Briggs family, Tangi, John Rasson, Auntie Marie, Donna Smith and family, Rhonda Banks, Oliver Nellums, Loretta Simmons and family, Auntie Dot, Vera, Kiara, Malachi, Tawana, Carrie and Willie Cody, Travis, Freddie Williams, James Richardson, Joseph, Caroline, Brian, NFL, Tramar, Nasir, Jameer, Auntie Betty and family, Sister Shirley and family, the Lowe's family and friends, Mary and Lowe, Mary Lowe and Hubert Lowe. The family of Auntie Janet Williams, Jackie, Auntie Martha, the Moore family, the Cato family, Kenneth Jacob, Jayla Miller, and Harold Bess. Oh God, the sources of all health, so fill our heart with faith in your love, that with calm expectancy that we may make room for your power to possess us and gratefully accept your healing. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will lay your healing hands upon all those who are sick. We beg you to have compassion on all those who are suffering so that they may be delivered from their circumstances. And Father, we come to you today with heavy hearts as we lift up the names that we just shared with you in prayer. We ask that you would bring healing and restoration to their body, their mind, and their spirit. Heal them, O Lord. Save them, O Lord. You are our heart's desire, as written in Jeremiah 17:14. Father God, we just thank you for the opportunity to acknowledge our family and friends that are sick and shut in or struggling. Father God, we just know that we can rely on you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
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 Okay. Let's do birthdays. Can I put my little pad away? I apologize. Okay, I can't even keep up with it. Today is March 3rd. And we're going through March 9th. So, on March 3rd, I understand it's Regal Lowe's birthday. Or Clarissa. I got them both on the 3rd. I don't think they're both on the 3rd. I have my grandson, Nakir, who will be 6 years old on March 5th. I understand he's very disappointed I'm not there. And but hopefully they'll get a chance to come see us in Atlanta. And also, is it Brittany on March the 9th?
Yeah.
And then I also have a Tina on March the 9th.
Yes, Tina, yes.
Are there any other birthdays? All right. D. Carrie, would you like to sing happy birthday to your granddaughter? And all?
I'll try. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God, children. God bless you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. I do want to see if I have any volunteers to do the opening prayer for next Sunday.
I'll do it.
All right. That's Sister Tawana, right?
Auntie Care.
Auntie Care.
Oh,
y'all not trying to laugh at all.
It is not a bad time. All righty. Anyone would like to do the sick and shut in prayer? Okay.
I'll do it.
Who
is
that?
Sister Shirley?
Sister Shirley.
Yes.
I got it. All right. Okay. And how about a closing prayer?
Diga low.
Okay. Well, that actually does conclude our session for today, but please mark in your books where we're going to start next Sunday on page 19 towards the bottom. I just wrote beside it 310. That would remind me where we're going to pick up. I really did enjoy our session and the feedback and the interaction. It was beautiful. Do you want to have any comments before I do the closing prayer? All righty. Well, if you will, please bow your heads. Oh, gracious Father, we are so thankful that you came in the midst of us this evening sharing sharing your word. It's just so beautiful, Father God. We know that we could not have done it without you in our midst. And Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity to understand where we may fall short in our lives as it relates to worry and anxiety and sickness. So, Father God, we know that you are the ultimate healer in anything that we do spiritually or mentally in our minds. So, Father God, we just continue to lean on you, lean on your word. And, Father God, we're going to continue to practice your word. And one of the biggest practices that we're going to work on from this Bible study is we're not going to say what if. We're going to say God if. In Jesus' name I pray,
amen.
Well, you guys have a wonderful week, and we will be in touch, and we love you.
We love you all, too.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Good night.